All right, now it's time once again to check in with the wife. It's time for The Pith of Pop, the podcast edition with my beautiful and brilliant wife, Jen. Aloha, Jen.
Hi.
Hey,
Hi.
Have you missed this?
Yeah.
All right, so you ready to go? What have we got on the menu?
Movies.
Okay, and the films are?
Grindhouse, Knocked Up, and Donnie Darko.
Hmm. And actually two of those films we saw in theaters.
Yeah, Wonder of Wonders.
Mm-hmm. Grindhouse, I'm not sure if it's playing anywhere anymore.
No, but it actually came and went pretty quickly, which is kind of disappointing, but It'll be out on DVD, I think, sometime in either September or October.
Okay, and Knocked Up, though, that's new, that's still in theaters.
Yeah, we saw that last week, in fact.
Donnie Darko is not new, but definitely a film we wanted to see for a long time, so we got that on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's the first film you wanted to dissect?
Grindhouse.
Okay, this is the Quentin Tarantino /
Robert Rodriguez
basic gore fest, I guess.
It's part gore fest, part thriller, really. Mm-hmm. I had been looking forward to this movie for I don't know how long. Mm. I am a huge Tarantino fan. I have seen everything Tarantino has done, and I am just a complete apologist for Tarantino. So I was very excited, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah, it's if you haven't seen it, and chances are you haven't since it wasn't around for so long, it's a double feature. Each of the directors made separate films.
And well, it's actually sort of more than a double feature because there's in the middle, there are actually trailers, fake trailers for, you know, non-existent
for
movies.
For other, you know, ridiculous films.
And I actually enjoyed the trailers almost as much as I like the movies themselves.
Oh, definitely. I've heard that from a lot of people. But the first film out of the pair is Rodriguez's film, Planet Terror. And this is the horror film, the gore fest.
It's as outrageous and gory and shocking and disgusting as you could imagine, but it's hilarious. It's funny as heck.
Right. There's been a lot of debate about the two parts of this film because they're both supposed to be tributes to that old exploitation grindhouse cinema of the 70s, I guess, 60s and 70s, and debate over who got closest to that ethic. I agree with those that thought that Rodriguez went a little more toward the parody side.
Right. It felt more like a parody to me. It straddled a very narrow line between homage and parody.
Right.
And I think it went over a little tiny bit, but that isn't to say that I didn't enjoy it.
No, I loved it. I mean, it's just, you're exactly right. It's over the top. It was weird. I work now near a movie theater, so I talked one of my coworkers into going, and I gave him every warning I could about how just totally insane the film is. And it's, you know, because I said it's a zombie film, but a whole bunch else, and it's just, you know, it'll blow your mind. He didn't believe me. And then the next time I saw him, he goes, whoo, that was something. So that should give you, I mean, he loves all of these horror movies and thrillers. And so if he was shocked, I think you will be too. But yeah, it's a zombie movie, and it's got some really good actors in it.
Mm-hmm. Naveen Andrews plays a small part in Planet Terror.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching him as Saeed, I actually kind of expected him to bust out his Planet Terror role.
Yes, and his Planet Terror lines. He's got a couple of just signature lines that you're right. Now I can't. It's hard to watch him on Lost with a straight face.
Yeah, exactly.
Bruce Willis is in this film.
Right.
And, well, he's being Bruce Willis, I would say.
Right. Rose McGowan. Freddie Rodriguez from 6 Feet Under.
That's right.
Lots of Hey, It's That Guy guys.
Exactly. Just a lot of familiar faces, a lot of just preposterous plot lines, a lot of blood and guts and pus and drippy things, and just various ways to disfigure and dismember people. It was pretty wild. Definitely a great way to kick it off. And then there's the fake trailers.
Right. That's arguably the best part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite is Thanksgiving.
Shocking again. Just I can't even put it into words.
But funny, you know. Yes. I actually saw it again on YouTube today, and I thought it was funny.
And there were like three films, and then there's Werewolves of the SS, sort of a Nazi werewolf movie.
Yeah, and then the Don't one. I didn't know this, but the Don't one was directed by the guy who created Shaun of the Dead.
Ah, okay. So yeah, there's a movie called Don't. And it's about all the things you shouldn't do. And okay, so I didn't know it was directed by that guy.
Yeah.
It almost makes sense. So after you split a gut watching these fake trailers and realizing you've missed your only opportunity to go to the bathroom, we go into Death Proof.
Death Proof. Death Proof is classic Tarantino. Mm-hmm. It's about a crazed stunt man who stalks two different groups of young women.
And it's played, he's played by Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, who has always given me the creeps. Always. And everything he's in, he always scares me. And this is not an exception.
So this is exactly where I guess he should be.
Uh-huh.
And when you said it's classic Tarantino, you're right in many ways. Unlike, you know, I thought that the whole movie was like the first half, but there is actually altogether not too much. There is, it's not a zombie horror gore flick.
No.
It's really kind of more of a thriller, more
it's,
of a...
Yeah, it's a psychological terror film. It's, you know, about somebody who's nuts and stalks his prey, but in the meantime, before he gets to that, there's a lot of dialogue.
Right. I was about to say, you know, classic Tarantino, there's a lot of yapping. A lot of yapping.
But it's interesting yapping, you know? It's very interesting yapping clearly out of the mind of somebody who likes movies way, way, way too much.
Right, and somebody who likes to write dialogue.
Yeah.
And one thing that you did notice, though, is that it almost seemed like Death Proof was Tarantino's opportunity to try and prove that he could write for A,
black people
and two,
women.
Women, yeah. Right. I mean, it was like a showcase for check out my dialogue. But
right.
To his credit, it was good dialogue.
Yeah, I loved it. If I had to pick one of the two, I guess I would have to say Death Proof.
That's great.
For me, was better than Planet
Terror.
You
know, everybody, well, I would say the vast majority of people felt the opposite. But I felt very validated when the film spotting.
Yeah.
Guys,
well,
right.
most of the people on the film spotting boards like Death Proof better too.
Okay, good, good. I think a lot of people were expecting what Rodriguez gave them with the zombie movie,
mm-hmm.
and they thought again that Tarantino took a little too much time winding up to his to the exciting part. But that's Tarantino. I love.
Yeah,
it.
I mean that's what Tarantino does. He writes really good dialogue and puts characters in situations that if you can't completely identify with, you can, you know, you can kind of predict how they'll react. And I loved it.
Right. I mean, he gives you people that you wish you knew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I always like about his movies. And actually, his film Death Proof also has two parts to it,
mm-hmm.
Which is also interesting, you know, two sides of the same coin in a way. And
mm-hmm.
If you see this film, one of the most interesting theories that I saw out there is that we presume when we're watching this movie that the two parts happen
right.
in that sequence in chronological order. But the best theory I read that messes with your head is imagine that it happened the other way.
Right.
And that makes a lot of
yeah.
sense. But now
yeah.
you have to see the movie to figure out what we're talking
yeah.
about. But who was in Death Proof? Not as many familiar faces.
Zoe Bell, who was the main stunt woman in the Kill Bill movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Poitier, who is Sidney Poitier's daughter. Vanessa Frilito from CSI New York.
Mm.
Jordan Ladd. Rosario Dawson.
Right. She was in both.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. I mean,
yeah.
there is not too much connection between the two films, but there are little hat tips. There's,
right.
There's a radio story about, I forget how it works. Oh, that's right. When you're watching Robert Rodriguez's film, and if you listen to the radio report, it's a radio report from
that references the second.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. But
yeah.
again, two completely different films, both of them just a wonderful rip-roaring ride in different ways. And definitely I was not disappointed despite all the hype. It was everything.
Yeah, it totally lived up to all the expectations, at least the ones I had.
Right. Okay, so let's see. How do you follow that? What was the second film?
Knocked Up.
Right. That film is out right now. It's by the same guy that did the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right. And Freaks and Geeks.
That's
he
right.
He's the guy behind Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I absolutely loved this movie. I love 40-Year-Old Virgin a lot. And I thought, well, he's going to have a hard time following up 40-Year-Old Virgin because that was a huge hit. It has an enormous following. But I think this is an even better film.
I definitely agree. And in fact, in a way, just like you like to watch a filmmaker mature and move, you know, get better at his craft and his humor, I really feel that Knocked Up is a perfect second act
mm-hmm.
to 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's almost like the same universe.
Yeah,
and
but
it is that much better and that much more refined. I think that it was fantastic. Now, who's in Knocked Up?
Catherine Hagel from Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rogen, who was also, he did a bit part in the 40-Year-Old Virgin. Paul Rudd, who was an Anchorman.
And a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, a lot of other stuff.
And a lot of these faces are familiar because the director, Judd Apatow, who did The 40-Year-Old Virgin, you know, he likes working with these people. And they clearly work together. I mean, that's really why this ensemble cast plays off really well. But there are just a lot of familiar faces. And, you know, it's just good to see them all again. But what I really liked about Knocked Up is that the premise is not unique at all.
No, it's a story about an accidental pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. All of the humor that kind of goes with that situation, but it's just what Judd Apatow does with his script and with these people that just blows you away.
It's so real. You know, speaking as somebody who's been in a similar situation, these characters say and do things that you can distinctly remember yourself saying and doing.
Right, but yet when they do it, it's funny.
Yeah.
Even when it's awkward, it's funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that's the real genius of it. It really reminded me of the kind of humor that makes The Office work and why some people cannot stand The Office, because it's painful to watch.
It's that kind of avert your eyes from the screen because you're so embarrassed for the characters.
And there's definitely a lot of that here, because you've got the total stoner dude and the total professional woman trying to deal with each other, but they cannot connect on so many levels. It hurts to watch, but it makes you laugh.
Right. And Leslie Mann actually does a good job of that. She's the sister of the Katherine Hagel character.
Right. There's two couples in this movie, actually. Right. There's Ben and Allison, the stoner, the knocked up couple.
Right.
And there's actually her sister and her husband and their family, Pete and Debbie. And they're the other half of the story.
And part of the story revolves around getting Debbie to accept Ben, because, you know, Ben has nothing in common with Allison, and Debbie can see that. And the whole part of the story revolves around just the two sides of the family getting together.
Well, and actually, I mean, when we were talking about the painful, awkward truth of real life, mm-hmm. I think that the Pete and Debbie characters are actually genius in this film, because they give you a look into a marriage, you know, several years in, where they've been together, they've got kids, and yet there's still, you know, conflict. There's still things to learn about each other.
The romance has kind of worn off. The mm-hmm. sparkle has gone off the rose, and they're learning to live with each other on just the married couple level.
Right, I mean, just the everyday life sort of things. That somehow they found a way in this film, despite the absurdity of the situation, to give us a window into regular lives and yet, you know, make it just hilarious. So,
right.
I mean, basically, Knocked Up is a wonderful film. It of course, like The 40-Year-Old Virgin, gives you a lot of shocking moments, a lot of over-the-top.
Yeah, it's not for the kids.
No.
So don't bring your kids to the matinee.
But it's funny, because I think some people will go to this movie looking for that, and they will just be floored by just the quality of the storytelling and characters.
Yeah, they will.
It's just great. So Knocked Up, another winner.
Mm-hmm.
Your last movie, now on DVD.
Donnie Darko.
Now, again, why did we want to see Donnie Darko?
Lost, in a nutshell. A lot of people commented to us during the run of our podcast that Lost kind of seemed to take a lot of cues from Donnie Darko.
Now, of course, Lost is taking a lot of cues from a lot of things.
Right.
But it definitely stuck in our minds as one of the early citations, the early comparisons to what might be happening in Lost. So, yes, we finally rented it from Netflix, and I'd ask you for a plot summary, but I'm not sure if that's possible.
No, it kind of defies plot summary.
Yes. And interestingly enough, actually, it's tough to explain what happens in this movie as it is, but it turns out that the version that's out there was recut to make more sense.
Yeah.
In fact, the way the director wanted it was even more surreal, and I can't even imagine what that's like.
No, we got to get our hands on the director's cut eventually.
Definitely a movie, I think, that you'll want to see more than once.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, what's the story? It's a teenage kid, disgusted with life, and his life just seems to be going downhill, and then it gets suddenly weird. There's a plane crash, Lost, and just from that moment on, things just get totally surreal. Just weird characters, weird events. Nothing can be explained. It's like watching, I don't know, some kind of abstract art project.
But everything that you see in the movie kind of comes together and into a finale that I don't want to give away.
Right, but it's sort of like the usual suspects, sort of, you know, all of the different things, and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
So it explains what happens, and even though it explains what happens, it doesn't explain what happens.
Yeah.
And I really don't know what to say as far as what the story is, but really what stands out about it is just the characters, the acting.
Well, it was made in 1999, if I'm not mistaken, but it takes place in 1988. Mm-hmm. So you have the really awesome new wave 80s soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot like a teen movie from the 80s. It's very Ferris Bueller, 16 Candles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the screenplay and in some of the dialogue, it's very kind of 80s. Jake Gyllenhaal is in it from Brokeback Mountain. Drew Barrymore is in it. Jake's sister Maggie Gyllenhaal is in it too. Very good cast. Really good writing.
But yeah, I mean, it sort of brings you back to those days and of those films, but it just slowly gets twisted and mm-hmm. gets dark, and I really loved it. And it was one of those movies where the closing credits come up and you're just like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's completely unexpected.
Right.
And I have an idea of how Lost is going to end now, because I can see it being a little bit like this film, but you know, I don't want to give too
much. But it could be one of many explanations for Lost. But mm-hmm. I would say that as we suffer through this ridiculous long hiatus, that you should go ahead and start digesting all of the things that people compared to Lost. And
yeah.
Darko,
I mean, if you're a fan,
would definitely be on that list. But even if you're not a fan of Lost, you should see Donnie Darko.
Yes, you should.
All right, so there's our three movies. Before we go, let's get your star ratings. First, we had the double feature with Tarantino and Rodriguez called Grindhouse. How many stars?
Five.
Five stars, totally agree. The second film was, I forget, where were we?
Knocked Up.
Knocked Up, yes. Judd Apatow's follow-up to The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Five stars.
Another five stars. You can tell it's been a good couple of months for movies. And finally, we've got Donnie Darko on DVD.
Five stars.
Five stars. Holy yeah. cow. It's
I love
our
them all.
First. It's a grand slam. All three of these movies, highly recommended. Must see. That's great. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
My pleasure.